This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
We hope that the attack will not take place, but we are bracing ourselves to meet such an attack, to face it. The officials in America keep talking about attacking Iraq, and it's normal that the people prepare themselves for such a possibility. At the same time, they are praying to Allah to stop the Americans from going through with it and to spare the Iraqis from the harm that those on the bandwagon of evil want to inflict upon them.
Saddam Hussein, of course, speaking through an interpreter in an interview this week with Dan Rather of CBS News. Dan Shore joins us now. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Scott.
And as we speak this morning, we understand that at least four Al-Samud missiles are in the process of being dismantled, overseen by UN inspectors, I guess 25 miles outside of Baghdad. Mm-hmm. Do you think the destruction of these, how do you think the apparent destruction of these four missiles might bear on events over the coming week?
Well, Iraq waited until the deadline day, and now it says it is dismantling these four missiles, and that remains to be confirmed, although it may well be true. They also say that they are discussing with the inspected a timetable to destroy the rest of the missiles. We're supposed to number about 100 or so. Once again, Saddam Hussein buys time by waiting until the last minute and then making a very small concession. He's made another small concession, allowed another couple of technicians to give private interviews. President Bush has said in several ways that he is vastly unimpressed with this and tired of the whole game.
How do you think it might affect deliberations in the United Nations?
I don't know if it's going to affect the deliberation of the United Nations are confused enough already. Whether this will add to the confusion, I don't know. The United States has two challenges right now in the Security Council. First of all, it wants to get 9 votes, which it needs in order to get a resolution passed, a second resolution, a little more about serious consequences than before. And there is still some question of whether we'll get the 9 votes. Pakistan, Mexico still seem to be in doubt. And then they do get that, they have another problem of not being vetoed by Russia, France, or China, every one of which I think is a rather lively possibility. Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile, President Bush himself is raising the ante. The interesting thing is that for many months he seemed always to oscillate between demanding disarmament and demanding regime change. Mm-hmm. Now he says, actually, come to think of it, he really wants both. And so the idea of the coalition of the willing, basically unilateral action or bilateral with Britain and a few other countries, gets to look closer and closer.
Turkey's parliament is voting today. Now, the whole idea of Turkish soil being used as a staging area for U.S. and British forces, mm-hmm. and for that matter, Turkish troops being committed to the battle is, according to the polls, widely unpopular in Turkey. They are voting on a plan, however, and of course the counterbalance to that is that Turkey stands to forfeit billions of dollars in U.S. economic aid.
That's right. Turkey is kind of a great historic irony. Turkey represents the kind of democracy that the United States, and specifically President Bush in his speech this week, have been trying to promote in the Third World. Mm-hmm. But what happens if you get a democracy, and Turkey has a fairly good army, is very influential, but Turkey is a democracy. And here these people, exercising their democracy, get out into the streets in Ankara and said, hell no, we don't want to have any war against Iraq fought from our soil. What do you say then when democracy, from our point of view, begins to show its limitations?
What about the Kurdish concern when we talk about Turkey? Because, of course, you have a kind of functioning democratic free state that's going on there in northern Iraq among the Kurds, who are concerned with what they read about in the papers today. U.S. promises that if an agreement is reached with Turkey, Turkish troops could go, I guess it's about 12 and a half miles inside the border there in that territory called Kurdistan.
Well, that's right. You're not allowed to say Kurdistan if any American officials are around, or if any Turkish officials are around, because it's one thing they worry most about is the idea of the creation of yet one other ethnic group that calls itself Kurdistan.
I stand corrected.
Well, no, it's all right with me. I don't know how it'll be with the Turkish government right now. Turkey has long repressed its own Kurdish minority. It doesn't want to see the Kurds in northern Iraq to create a new entity, which you call Kurdistan. I, of course, would never say a word like that. Kurds are already running northern Iraq, protected by American and British no-fly zones. Mm-hmm. But the Turkey is very fearful of Kurdish aspirations for statehood, and so therefore, it's, you know, that adds to the vast complication of trying to deal with some of the great problems of that region.
Let's turn to North Korea, because maybe as we have been understandably concerned with events that they've been unfolding in Iraq, events have not been stalled by any means in North Korea. Secretary of State Colin Powell returned from a trip to Asia, not with any visible support for the U.S. position there, or for that matter, in Iraq. What, if anything, did the trip accomplish?
He didn't accomplish very much in getting what he wanted, which was to get multilateral talks with North Korea. They still insist on having bilateral talks with the United States, and there is a question now of what the United States is going to do about it, because the situation is getting more and more tenuous there. The New York Times reports that the Pentagon is already discussing contingency plans to bomb a reprocessing plant that apparently is getting ready to come into action right now. And if you reach a stage where they're talking about North Korea, and of course North Korea combined with the Iraqi situation makes a totally unholy mess, but it may very well be that the United States will face a more real threat in North Korea in the near future than it's facing now in Iraq.
Well, what is the significance of that reactor? Maybe we ought to understand that in utterly practical terms. This could mean that they are close to manufacturing bombs that can be dispersed, not delivered.
That is correct. Now, of course, they're claiming they only need to have this reactor working in order to provide electricity because we stopped sending them fuel oil. But the fact of the matter is that if this reprocessing plant gets working, and it may get to go working according to American intelligence within the next 2 or 3 weeks, if it does get working, that after that point, it is believed they can turn out one or two atom bombs every month.
And a blunt question, can the United States fight two major wars at once?
Secretary of Defense says it can. I'm not sure that anybody wants to try it out and see whether it can. Obviously, the war with North Korea would be more a bombing war than it would be a war on the ground. But yet, who knows? The Pentagon does not want to see tested its assertion that the United States has the capability of fighting two regional wars. Yeah, but do we really want to?
And in Washington, D.C., congressional Republicans have officially begun their campaign for the president's 10-year, $637 billion economic stimulus package. The plan centers on a tax cut.
Yes, and that tax cut, I think, is in trouble. If you speak to Republican senators, not the Democrats, where you know it'll be in trouble, but if you speak today to Republicans, they're beginning to wonder why it is that there's so little mention in this country of sacrifice. If we're facing one and possibly two wars coming up, shouldn't Americans be making sacrifice? What does sacrifice mean? Usually sacrifice means that you raise taxes, or at least, for heaven's sake, that you don't reduce taxes at a time like that. And so I think we're not focused on the political situation in Congress right now, because we are now so all wrapped up in the possibility of hostilities. And yet the fact of the matter is that the majority in the Congress is not a majority on every point.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.
Sure.